Time to crack a big cold beer and listen to the Triple M Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast for Victoria Bitter, official sponsor of Hard Work. 18 plus.
Hello, yes, welcome to the catch-up. Thank you for streaming. Don't forget you can subscribe. Make sure you do that and we'll get the catch-ups pushed through to you.
Well, it seems that Wallabies are absolutely dominating reality TV with the Honey Badger and, of course, Matt Rogers on Survivor. We spoke to him this morning.
Also, we opened a can of worms. Painkillers are a performance-enhancing drug, according to Lawrence Mooney.
And we continued our coverage of the strawberry crisis. There's people jamming stuff into fruit all over the place. Stop it!
Stop it! Get away from that!
Get out of it!
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Oh, my gosh. Did you see Survivor last night, Marto?
I saw the first 15.
And you missed the glory.
I know what happened. Our hero got wiped out.
Hey, look, our hero. We have been loving Matt Rogers. He was the one that we thought would get right to the end, but an absolute doozy happened to him. Basically, one of his former, like, very tough, tight, she's the barrister, Shan. She was in the Champions.
How many footy players have been done over by barristers over the years?
Anyway, she found an immunity idol. She wanted to play it for Matt, and then it all went terribly wrong.
You want to play it? Now will be the time to do so.
Funny story, Jonathan.
Whoa, no way.
So I do have one I want to play, but I'm playing it for Matt.
No. Don't play for Matt.
No?
No, play for you. You're getting played.
I'll play it for myself then, I think.
Benji, you dirty crossing,
is that who
nasty.
Did the double crossing? I didn't wait
anyway,
up.
Anyway, Matt Rogers joins us. Hey, Matt.
Hey, team. How are you?
Oh, Rogger, you are done over, mate. Are you all right with the individuals?
Yeah, mate, absolutely. It's a game and, you know, they're all just trying to survive and win. And
not
and
a game to us, mate. It's very serious and we all had you in
serious.
The sweepstakes.
I agree. I mean, but, you know, you win some, you lose some and, you know, I got other things to deal with. If I'm worried about that, I'm in trouble. So it's, you know, I've got no hard feelings towards anyone. It was a fun experience and I loved it. And it would have been nice to win, but there's only one winner out of the 24. Mm. So 23 people aren't. So.
And who is left in the jungle still? Who have we got?
So you've got the 8 people that were sitting next to me last night.
Robin, it was a long time ago, wasn't it, Matt?
Well, I know Steve's in there. I know Sean and Shane are in there. They were sort of the three that I was working with pretty closely. But, you know, Benji sort of got in the heads of the others and he also got into Sean's head. Sean was sort of working both sides and she sort of got played a little bit by Benji, which is a bit of a shame. But anyway, it happens.
Rogo, take us. Now, I know you can't tell us any further advancement of the game, but after you snuff the torch out, do you go and stay in a luxury hotel?
Yeah, luxury sort of villa.
Oh,
yeah, you
my
do.
God.
And, mate, you rock up. And I'll tell you what, they make you feel all right because you come out and you've got a chef there and they cook you up what you want. So I had all my favourite food on it. I was so hungry.
I mean, you knew you were going into it and you suspected that you'd leave your family for a while. Weren't you ready for that?
Oh, yeah, you can be as ready as you like. But in the end of the day, I mean, you 8 weeks without communicating with your loved ones is not easy, you know, particularly when you've got, you know, a child that's like, you know, in my
Maxie.
Position and mum's at home and, you know, she's got a lot on her plate and, yeah, I mean, she's an amazingly supportive wife, my wife, but I still don't like
leaving
a post-it, you know, so yeah.
Matt, you didn't decide to get out of the jungle and follow the Brian Lake method of cutting sick in Japan and getting locked up?
No, but let me just say that didn't surprise me, knowing Brian.
It took him 6 weeks to lose any weight. Hey, what about Commando? His whole life was on TV, was making people lose weight. He has lost a heap. Is he now knowing what it felt like?
Yeah, mate, he's great, Commando. We had a great relationship in there and continue to do. I mean, I've got a great relationship with most people in the show. I mean, you become closer with some than others, but there's no one that I didn't like. You know, everyone was cool and, you know, had a great time. But, yeah, he certainly was a different character than what you would have expected given his nature in Biggest Loser.
Who's going to win? Just give us a hint. Give us a top three.
He used to play for the Sharks.
It'll be one of the 8 that are left in there.
No, I wanted to know about Shark Storm. Who's going to win?
Mate, Sharks will win that and Roosters will win the second one.
Oh, no. You're right to play for the Wallabies again, mate. They need you.
I said to Raylene at the game last night on Saturday night before they kicked off, I said, give me a pair of boots, I'll get down there. But didn't get the nod.
Anyway. Actually, one more question.
I've got to go and speak to some other people, but it's been great chatting.
All right, see ya.
Cheers, Rocco.
Bye.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
So the finals are coming. I'm trying very hard to remain interested, and so I watch the sport in the at the end of the news and just see if there's any little things that I can then take towards the finals. And I saw with interest that Paul Gallen has hurt himself from the Sharks.
Yeah, cheering, please.
Right, and what do I know about Gallen? Well, I know that we call him something when he's here for State of Origin.
What
and we yell it out in the crowd, and the whole stadium yells it out, and it's actually really cool.
Does it rhyme with tanker?
It certainly
and
does.
And banker?
So,
is it wanker?
Yeah, thanks.
Well done, mate. You showed subtlety there twice and then couldn't help yourself.
And then you just couldn't resist. Anyway, so the story last night was about his injured shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to put something to you. Here we go.
If I asked you right now if you can lift your shoulder and do stuff with it.
I'll do my fitness test come Thursday, mate. I won't be doing it on Channel 9.
Oh, gal, you're hilarious.
Because basically, from the moment he got injured last weekend, he was taken off the pitch.
He didn't play a lot. He finished the game on the bench, yeah, him and Luke Lewis.
And they were injecting a cortisone. Cortisone into his arm, and they have been continuously injecting into him to get him to play on Friday night.
You can do whatever you like. The last game of the season if you lose. So
this is what I just don't understand. Cortisone is an amazing painkiller, and yet it's not seen as a performance-enhancing drug. And it's exactly what it is. It's going to enhance his performance. If he was left without a painkiller, he couldn't play.
It's just going to enable him to perform. Like, it's like a worker, a truck driver taking a headache tablet just to allow the headache to go away so he can drive.
No, from his natural start, he's an injured man who can't actually move his arm.
But it's not and making his performance better. It's just enabling him to perform.
No, it's going to make his performance from the condition that he's in now a lot better. I just don't understand why painkillers are still allowed to be used in sport and yet other drugs are so much frowned upon.
Well, because other drugs actually make them better. Like, they actually increase
the performance. But in this particular situation, it's going to make Gallen
better.
It just enables him to get somewhere near his normal performance. It doesn't elevate his performance above his normal state.
But it does.
It's an absolute drug that is injected into the body that is, like, in no doubt in my mind, in not only enabling performance, it's improving performance.
Hold on, you can't
because it's taking pain out of the equation.
No. It allows him to actually perform. It's no different to a headache tablet for a person doing their normal job, but he does an extraordinary job where he has to hit people, so he needs to be given a chance to come to his normal level.
If they want to clean up the game, they've got to get rid of cortisone out of it.
Did you see the AFL guys? One guy turned up to a press conference. I think he was a Collingwood bloke. Sorry, I don't know his name. And he said, oh, yeah, I've had more needles than so-and-so, and, yeah, I'll be right. No problems. Can't feel a thing in that second half.
So, Moon, are you willing to say then painkillers are a performance-enhancing drug?
Yeah, absolutely they are, and they should be banned like any other performance-enhancing drug.
Okay, let's do this.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
This all started because Paul Gallen is having all these injections in a desperate attempt to get him to play for the Sharkies on Friday night against the Storm. It's Friday, isn't it?
And
Friday night, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
If he is what the crowd say he is, no wonder he's got a sore shoulder.
Okay.
Oh, repetitive.
Anyway, yeah, all right.
Got it.
Thanks. So he's getting these cortisone injections, and Moon is saying that really if you get any sort of painkillers at a particular time like this, it's a performance-enhancing drug.
Yes, because the nature is that you've got an injury, right, that is actually impeding you or stopping you, and you have a drug to kill that pain. It is performance enhancing.
No, it's not performance. It's just allowing you to perform. Hold on. You understand about the international drug regulations these days and how
WADA and ASADA. Yes,
WADA and ASADA. Okay, and how regulated they are. The doctors are administering these things. You know how serious concussion is. Everyone's taking it so seriously. There is no effect, and that's why athletes are prepared to take it. There is no next week. For
but
another
the flip
4 months
side of
if
that,
things don't go well. The doctors are happy with it.
No, but if he didn't have those injections, he wouldn't be able to play, and that would dramatically alter how the team went.
The pain, but we're not talking about performance enhancing of the team. We're talking about performance enhancing of the individual. You're not improving the individual from his normal performance.
Never. Has the lid blown off a can of worms this one?
Okay.
People are outraged.
Okay, Steve, of Wellington Point, what do you want to say?
It's definitely a performing enhancing drug.
Thanks, Steve.
In what way, Steve?
But let's just go one step. I'm a basketball coach, a rep coach, but what we got to look at is what the kids are doing it now. We've got parents out there giving our kids cortisone so they can get on the court.
That's not now. That's been going. Hey, Steve, that's been going forever. Anyone with a little bit of ambition wants to play.
Absolutely, I agree with you 100%. I did it as a lot to play for a long time. I'm now riddled with arthritis in my hands and my knees because of it. You are too, Marto. You're riddled with arthritis because you did it as a player.
No.
And now you have trouble getting out of bed every morning. Am I not correct?
I'm sore, but that's because of other things. You know what? I only ever injected once with a painkiller. The rest of it's just normal stress and wear and tear.
Wear and tear. But we've got to stop parents allowing kids to do it. It is a performance-enhancing drug. It's making them better and allowing them to play and not allowing the injury to heal correctly using physio, ice, etc., and getting over it.
Well,
and at a junior level, we're destroying their kids' futures by allowing these things to happen.
I agree with you, Steve. And Steve is one vote for me. Thank you very much. Paul from the Goldie.
Hey, listen,
what do you reckon?
Mate, it's not, don't take it personally. It's a medical issue. All right, it's not a victory. There's no scoreboard here.
These two are so competitive.
Know. You are one zip.
Okay.
Paul from the Goldie.
How are you guys?
Performance-enhancing drugs or not?
Yeah, it's a really grey area for me, and I think it all depends on interpretation and how we view it. But the way I'd pose it as another example is how would you rate a Ventolin inhaler for an asthmatic?
Interesting.
Well, that is also cortisone. I would, in the world of the Moon Man's drug administration, I would pass Ventolin.
Oh, well, based on what?
But Ventolin can, I'm just trying to work this through.
I don't want people
dying. People can die. Like, Ventolin actually is life-saving.
Well, they shouldn't be playing
cortisone.
Sport. If they're going to die without it, therefore they're enhancing their performance.
You've got to give the Wheezers a chance at getting a few possessions.
Hold on, Paul. Thank you, mate. One all.
Moon Man's drug administration is pretty dodgy administration. I'll tell you that. Everything's passing in there.
Josh.
Well, I'm a little bit drunk.
When Moon Man's physio says you need some ice.
Josh,
it's like,
Breckenridge.
I haven't even gotten. Oh.
Hey, Josh, bring some class back to this. What do you reckon?
So, look, I remember reading an article years ago. It was Sports Illustrated or Inside Sport, and it was talking about the prevalence of painkillers in NFL. And what it was talking about is how some players were looking for that added edge to when they were playing, whether they were injured or not. They would load up on painkillers before a game to turn off their body's pain receptors so that they could play without fear.
Wow.
They hit as hard as they could, as many times as they could, without fear of injuring themselves. So they
never thought of it like that.
Numb from the neck down to be able to play. Now, Marto, if you were playing way back when and you could play without fear, do you think that that would give you a competitive edge?
I reckon I did play. I reckon nearly everyone did play without fear, though, Josh. People do, but then injury, it's pain pulls them up.
The principle
it's weird you say that, Josh, because last Friday I was numb from the neck down Friday night and I got the fear. So,
what? You're a bizarre human.
Ignore that. 70% of
Josh
people, a Moon Man, disagree with you. They say it's not a performance-enhancing drug. Painkillers. Keep
and
it
excuse me, I'm the Moon Man's physio, and I highly recommend the use of ice as a rehabilitative exercise.
Well, he needs a new physio. It's the Big Breakfast on Brisbane's Triple M, and I don't think you're qualified, sir.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Strawberry sabotage crisis update. Are you ready? I think we all know there's $100,000 been offered by a state government for any leads leading to.
It's disgraceful behaviour.
Who's put that stuff in there? Aldi. Coles have wiped all strawberries off out of their supermarkets everywhere except
Woolies.
WA. Woolies, I don't know.
Yeah,
there.
No, everyone has. Woolies, Aldi.
Aldi have said, we're coming back. We're putting strawberries back out.
We're running the gauntlet. How many bits have been found? Couple of needles and
I believe. Hold on, I did write it down.
You can't shut down a whole industry because of six strawberries.
Just cut the strawberries, people. Don't eat them whole.
I know. But listen, you remember we were talking about it yesterday, and here's the bad news.
Yeah.
A metal object has been discovered at a Queensland banana amid ongoing concern. Queensland Police Commissioner Ian Stewart said police had received one report of a metal object in a. There's just people whacking steel into all sorts of fruit into a banana, but it's understood the incident was isolated and involved a person placing a metal object in a banana at a shop. Well, duh. He's got significant leads in relation to the banana matter. They're calling it the banana matter now. A 62-year-old woman. Listen to this, is assisting Maryborough police over the alleged incident reported
at
What's she doing? Is she Tony Gregg just putting her car keys into bananas?
Police had a chat to Steve Smith and Dave Warner.
No, they're in the sand.
Tampering. Right, okay.
The potential kind of hardware. The head of police said potential for copycat events was very real, and that's what's going on here.
That's terrible.
Just, have you ever stuck anything into fruit, Marlo?
No, well, not steel. I hear there's it's popular for people to put wood into.
Okay, that is enough.
Well, if you know what we're talking about, we are worried.
Absolutely do.
Okie dokie. I want to see someone trying to stick
it.
I hardly touched him.
It's a yellow card.
You stole a point off me. You're a thief.
Just for goodness. Shut up, Serena.
The Brisbane's Triple M.
The Big Breakfast with Mardo, Robin and the Moon Man.
We used to think we had it nailed when we had Malcolm Turnbull to give us our look at national affairs. Now he's gone. We had to find somebody else with a silly voice. And we found him. Finance Minister Matthias Cormann. Good morning, sir.
Yes, I've really grown on you. You've grown on me, the Big Breakfast. And that, of course, is because the Moon Man has got a Scott Morrison impersonation, so you're stifling me. But I like to have a Big Breakfast. It's a great way to start a day. Sometimes I'll start with, you know, traditional Australian Big Breakfast, some chipolatas, hot feet, little sausages, and also some rashers of bacon. I like the smoking with the hickory. But traditionally in Belgium, do you know what we have for breakfast?
No, sir. What do you have?
Waffles.
What did you say?
Waffles.
Waffles.
Yeah, we have a nice hot chocolate or a sweet coffee with a waffle. And it's a great way to start a day. Have you got a waffle iron?
Yeah, I do. I thought you were going to say something like kippers or something.
No, that's more Norse. That's more Scandinavian. Yeah. But we enjoy the waffle.
Okay. Mm. Good.
Just remind everyone, you're from Belgium, aren't you? Just for everyone.
That's right. I'm from Belgium is made up of three different languages. You have French, Dutch, and German, and I'm from the German part of Belgium. That's right. So that's why I've got an accent like this, and that's why I say waffle.
Would you like to talk politics?
Yeah, let's talk whatever you like. Okay. I'm quite a, you know, I'm a Renaissance man. I can talk football, I can talk music, food, waffles, yeah. Romance, waffles.
Okay, Tony Abbott, let's talk about him. He was lucky to win pre-selection in Warringah.
I'm sorry.
You say waffles in a funny way. That's
sorry, right. Robin, please, go on.
Yeah, I just want to know about Tony Abbott. Yeah. He was lucky to win his pre-selection. I just want to know you guys over him.
Tony is universally hated because he threw the party into mayhem with his vengeful white handing of Malcolm Turnbull, and so people were happy for him to be defeated at the most recent pre-selection. But Tony is like a cockroach in a nuclear holocaust. He would survive anything, really. So he's through again. But I don't think he's going to win the next election. The people of Warringah will stand up and, you know, they'll treat him like a poorly cooked waffle. Out he goes in the bin. Mm.
Okay. It seemed to say Warringah. Another question.
It's Warringah.
Okay. Now I see where ScoMo, your boss, has ordered a Royal Commission to aged care. Do you agree with that?
Well, I do, Mardo. I think that Australians for a long time have been very irreverent and disrespectful when it comes to the old people. You people cast your old aside more than anybody in the world. Just into the nursing home you go. They're going on holidays, put the dog down, get the parents into nursing homes. That kind of thing. And I think it's time that we had a Royal Commission into, you know, what the people are eating there, the custards, the little patty pies, the lasagna. And, you know, you can't be putting old people into kerosene baths. That's not right. Or hitting them with Tupperware if they won't eat their porridge. You just can't hit an oldie across the head with a lunchbox because you don't like what they're doing.
No, that's...
Matthias, let's just ask something totally different.
I'm very emotional about that, actually. You can't. Yeah, so no more hitting the oldies with the Tupperware, please.
Is waffles all right for them to eat?
Yeah, you can eat. I think an old person like a waffle because they're soft to eat, and you can make them as nutritious as you like as well. Okay. Yeah. Hey, do you want me to Go, no, go right ahead, please.
Yeah, we'll ask the questions.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you what TV you watch in your downtime.
I love a bit of television. I like reality television, Robin, and MasterChef's my favorite because I'm quite a doyen in the kitchen. My favorite cuisine is Mexican. The guacamole I like making with the avocado and the clotted cream, and then I make the rest of the nachos and very spicy jalapeno, spicy when you eat it, spicy the next day too. And because I am a hot and spicy person, that is who the real Matthias Kuhrman is.
Okay, great. Well, okay. You're done. We've had enough.
Yeah, we've had enough of you.
And you know what I'm going to do? Rather than rocking somewhere, I'm going to finish with a joke every day.
Okay. Go right ahead, please, sir.
Okay. This is one for Brendo. Oh. How many apples grow in an apple tree?
Oh, how many apples?
Hundreds.
They all do, Brendo. All the apples grow in apple trees.
Yeah, okay. Matthias Cormann, our finance minister.
Belgium humour.
Okay, bye.
That worked well.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
I've taken over school pickups on Monday afternoons.
Yeah,
I want to spend more time
with
our daughter.
Yes.
Marto thinks I'm trying to usurp my mother-in-law.
Things are quite possibly true.
How much fun is school pickup?
Enjoy it.
Rubbish.
I've committed to this, and I'm spending Monday afternoons with Maggie. And
Can I ask you, what technique does your school use? Have they got cards they use? Have your name tags? What are your school doing?
No, you've got to. Everyone's got a security pass to the gate,
She's only little. You've got to go sign them in and out. You've got to wait. You've got to wait at the door. Remember?
Yep. Sorry.
And also, you get to tune the, to have a chat to the teacher and her assistant.
How are they?
I'm just going to ignore that. Conversation.
Are we in the Dowdy camp or they're going okay?
No, they're both very, very fit active people, really good at their jobs.
Yeah, that's and important.
Thank they're
very,
you.
That's important.
They're very engaged with my child and
even
with
better.
Me. I'm sorry, I'm playing that up. That's
who you are. They don't care.
They've got no. They're a lot younger than me. Well, one's not. She's a sexy nana. But anyway, I rocked up to pick Maggie up yesterday, and I was 10 minutes early. Had Rupert, our dog, in the car. We're after pick up, going to go and have a bit of a run in the park, and then do some other stuff. And I was 10 minutes early, and I thought rather than wait outside the door and be a distraction, I'll just lean the seat back and have 10 minutes nap here.
Uh-oh.
Put the alarm on for 3:15 because it's a 3:15 pickup. Put the alarm on for 3:15 a.m. Yeah. I woke up at 3:35. Rupert's just standing over me. He was like, come on, man.
All the other kids are gone.
We've got a child to pick up. I was like, no, oh, no. It's the second time in a day that I'd woken up like that. Oh, yeah. And I'm looking around. There's just parents and children teeming out of the kindergarten and school. So I go in. I've got hair sticking up on one side. And Maggie's in there with Nicole. And, yes, the dry, crusty dribble. And Maggie goes, Dad, wipes the corner of her mouth as if to say,
oh, that's good.
You've got crust. And I went, oh, silly Dad. I fell asleep in the car. And Nicole, thankfully, the teacher, she said, when I used to pick my kids up, I used to do that all the time.
Homeless people collecting children.
Dodgy dad fail. Please help me out. I always ask for your help on this. It's better if I'm not the only one. Are you a dodgy dad? Tell us when. What did you do?
Alex of Fernie Hills, what happened?
How are you guys?
Yeah, good, mate. You're dodgy?
Look, I've had a few dodgy dad moments, but the one that probably takes the cake makes me very thankful that the kids aren't going to remember things like this when they're older. Had my son in the back seat of the car on the way to daycare, which he loves going to, but he's just crying and crying and crying, and my frustration levels are going through the roof, and I finally go to get him out of the car, unbuckle him, and realise that I'd buckled his thigh, and it was pinching his leg the whole trip to daycare.
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah.
Did that bruise up really badly?
It did a little bit. You know, but he didn't have the words to tell me that there was something wrong, so it was all just crying. And
oh, that's his
you
fault.
Know, he learned a very good lesson. He doesn't know what he was learning a lesson about.
Poor little fella.
I'll never do whatever I was doing before Dad hurt me. There, I'll never do it again.
Do that again.
Same thing with the bike helmet underneath the chin, just flicking a bit of skin in there.
Lisa of Rosewood, your dad was the dodgy dad. What did he do?
My sister and I both went to the same school, and I told him that morning that I'd be 15 minutes late because I had to talk to a teacher, but instead he picked up my younger sister and drove the half an hour trip home and forgot about me.
Oops. Did he come back and get you?
A lot of pain.
Yeah. After I called him and couldn't get a hold of him and then called my mum, who's very German and very angry all the time.
How did your mum's Germanness get him? How did mum's Germanness get into this?
Jeez. Oh, it just means that everything she says sounds really scary, and he made his way back very, very quickly.
You've forgotten Lisa at the school, imbecile.
Be careful. Brett, Waverly Heights.
We don't want German punishment.
Yeah, guys, yeah, so mine's, my wife said it was dodgy. I thought it was a genius idea, but he used to use the retractable dog walking lead on the back of the kid's harness when we were going for walks along the bike path so they could leg it more than a metre or so with a little monkey tail or something.
Snap them back.
And if they got too far, yeah, put the lock on or wind. Yeah, made sure I got one that had a little winder on it so I could wind them back in if they got too far out.
Did they like it?
They loved it. Every mum I saw thought I was a freak, and every dad I saw thought I was a genius.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of where it sits.
You're somewhere in between. Don't worry. Thanks,
Big breakfast on Triple M.
You know, we're in the midst of our footy finals, et cetera, AFL.
Yep.
NRL, it's it. But in amongst all that, the NFL started about 3 weeks ago.
In the American Football League.
American Football, Gridiron, whatever you want to call it. And there was an amazing story came out of it yesterday. Now, the Buffalo Bills are really struggling. Okay, they're a team from Buffalo. They're called the Buffalo Bills.
Good. And okay. New York State.
They were down 31-3 at halftime yesterday.
Right.
Do you know who else was from Buffalo?
Who?
Mork and Mindy.
Oh, they were too.
Mm.
Okay.
Nice
aliens.
Little tidbit there.
Whoa. Yeah. What position did he play?
He used to sit upside down in the Jeep, remember?
With the funny fingers. Hey, all right, so they're down 31-3. One of their players, he's on $7 million a year, okay? He's called a cornerback, which means he catches a lot of people in the backfield. You know, you get the big units up the front that just go, squash each other. Then in the quarterback who throws it. He's one of the blokes that hangs around the backfield. He'd be like a centre in rugby league and rugby union, okay? All right? So doing roaming, fairly
athletic.
He decided he'd had enough. He was only on a one-year deal and he went home. He decided to retire. He didn't tell anyone.
Third game into the season.
Yeah, he's just had enough. The Buffalo Bills haven't been going well. They haven't been winning. And he looked at the game and went, this is
enough. At halftime.
At halftime.
Do you know what?
He walked out. He didn't tell any other players. At halftime. He told one of the coaches, he said, I've had enough. I can't play anymore. I'm over this game. Got showered and went home. The players didn't find out until after. In fact, here's one of his teammates. Now, this is Lorenzo Alexander. The guy's name's Vontae Davis. He's the guy who gave up on $7 million Aussie a year. Okay? That's what he gets paid to run around and catch a football and hit a few people. All right, but his mate Lorenzo Alexander, he's a linebacker. He finds out after the game. He went, well, somebody said he wasn't coming back out on the field. They didn't know what was going on.
He left?
Yeah. You know as much as I know. I know I found out going in the second half of the game. Coming out, they said he's not coming out. He retired.
What?
Yep. That's it. Guys heard about it and said that he wasn't coming back out.
Retired. Just a non-traditional retirement.
Have you ever given up halfway through something? I mean, you know, apart from building IKEA furniture where you just go, this is...
Can I tell you a story? Ages ago, when Andrew Johns brought out his book, oh, God, for the life of me, I can't remember the name of it, came in here one day and
was it called Joey, perchance?
Probably. Look up Joey Johns' book. Anyway, he came in here and we did a good interview. It went for, you know, while we recorded it after the show and said, oh, we'll play that. One of the stories was... When he first went to Newcastle, one of the sponsors got him a job with a plumber. Smoko time, 10 o'clock, so he got at the job at 7. He was only 18, first year out of school. Mm-hmm. Got to the job at 7, went, not really liking this. They all threw in, they said, righto, you're the apprentice, you got to go to get Smoko. He collected the money, collected the order written on a piece of paper and got to the shop and went, this isn't for me.
Whoa, and left.
Didn't return to the work site.
So money.
A couple of those blokes did hit him up. He's like, you're in Sydney, you owe me for a bacon and egg roll and a chocolate breaker. What is it?
The two of me.
You have a look in that book. Joey Johns gave up his apprenticeship within 3 hours of starting, retired. Mm. Anyone else, Moon?
Well, I quit on stage 36 of my electronics kit. Over 100 stages, I just went, this is like homework. This isn't fun. And I thought to myself as a young 11-year-old, there's no future in electronics. and I've actually, it's kind of scarred me. I've never not completed anything since.
Oh,
I like to complete things because it's just like I felt like a bit of a failure, but I only got one because my mate David Shannon had one and he was a bit of a nerd and I thought,
Is it true he owns IBM or
TV? Yeah, that's right. He's at the top of the Apple Corporation now.
Okay, let's check. Why did you give up halfway through? Yeah.
You know the guy I was talking about from the Buffalo Bills, the cornerback, Vontae Davis. I've since found out he retired halfway through a game because things weren't going well and he was only signed to a one-year deal, but he had already received his full year's income on the day that the draft went through, $7 million Australian.
He'll never play again, though. No. Who's going to pick him up? Remember Sally Robbins, Lay Down Sally?
Oh, she
in the Olympic Games.
Retired,
yeah. She's a yoga teacher in Brisbane, apparently.
Oh, she's a yoga teacher in Brisbane?
Apparently.
Where she gets to lay down a lot. on the mat. Are you asleep, Sal, or are you doing yoga? No, I'm just rowing.
I've got another 1,000 metres to go yet.
You've got to kind of admire someone, though, that just pulls out and says, no, that's enough for me. I can't pretend anymore.
Not in sport, though.
Mal Meninga ran for politics. Do you remember the first interview? Oh, delicious.
Former Australian rugby league star Mal Meninga tried a career in Canberra. For a moment, anyway.
I was just a person out there making sure that I was, I'm buggered. I'm sorry.
I'm buggered.
What happened?
I'm just a person out there. I'm just a person out there making sure that I'm buggered.
Yeah. He was announcing that he was going into politics. It lasted 14 seconds.
And then I got nothing. Well, I kind of did the same thing with George Clooney. I used to do a movie show for Channel 7 called Popcorn, and it was a local.
Oh, tell us more. What?
So,
why have you been holding this back?
Hold on.
I was able to go and do all of the. Yeah, there will be. I was able to do all of the big interviews when they came to town. And when Batman and Robin was released, they did a massive big launch at Movie World. George Clooney came out, Elle Macpherson came out, and also Alicia Silverstone, who was playing Batgirl. Yeah. Anyway, these awful interviews work is that you get an allocated 7 minutes and all the journos have to line up outside the door, starting with the most important, who was usually Richard Wilkins, and then it goes down to the least important. And because I was doing...
David and Margaret, were they ahead of popcorn?
everyone was ahead of popcorn. I was the last person and he had done for that day, count them, 42 interviews.
Oh.
42 people had walked in there.
There was a community radio station from Perth that got in ahead of you, wasn't there?
John Michael Howson came out and said, good luck, Dal.
So I walked in and it became very clear very quickly. He did not want to answer the same questions for the next 7 minutes. And I stood there and I looked at him.
Popcorn's in trouble here.
I stood there and I looked at him and I thought, you know what, buddy? I'm not going to do this interview about Batman and Robin.
Oh.
I'm going to say to you, I said, do you not want to do this? And the camera was rolling, so it was going to give me good footage regardless. I said, look, have you had enough? And he goes, no, I'm paid to be here. This is what I have to do. And I said, well, do you want to talk about the film? And he goes, well, you've seen what everyone else has done. I said, okay, mate, what do you want to talk about? And he said, I want to talk about my pet pigs. So I got a 7-minute interview about George Clooney's pet pigs because I gave up on Batman.
That's good. Wow.
You're on a movie show, though.
On a movie show.
Well, if you wanted to
wasn't
Google
called bacon.
All of them.
It wasn't called Making Bacon, was it, your show?
Mum, Dad, can we tune into Popcorn tonight to find out what's happening with the new Batman movie?
It's just pigs making love.
Josh Lee. Have you given up halfway?
Josh? How you going, guys? Love a show.
Thank you.
Yeah, did you enjoy popcorn when it was on TV? Apparently it was on.
Stop it.
Hi, Josh. Yeah, mate, when did you give up halfway?
Well, I decided to give up smoking, and about a year into it, I gave up on giving up smoking.
in my defence, I'm married to a Croatian woman, and she's pretty fiery. And my son was going through puberty at the time, so I needed something. I needed an edge.
Okay.
You're blaming puberty and the Croats, and you're back on the durries.
Okay, John.
Okay.
Are you using us as counselling?
We're okay with that, Josh. Yeah. Are you still like happy smoking now?
I am, because we just come back from Croatia, and over there they're like $5 a packet, so you just can't go to Croatia and not smoke. So.
You're like my wife going shopping. I'm saving money. Don't worry.
And you just the Big Breakfast Triple M.
That was the Triple M Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast for Victoria Bitter, official sponsor of Hard Work. You could win a brand new hard-working 4x4 just by drinking Victoria Bitter. Full T's and C's and permits apply at vb.com.au/winner4x4. 18 plus.
It's the end of the podcast, what do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.